sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No Zoe again today. No Zoe. Hardy in for Zoe here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Hey, bud.
How you doing?
Hi. Hi, Mark.
Nice to see you.
Hi. Hi, Sarge.
Good morning.
Oh, boy. That was very official.
Already.
Oh, God. 4 hours of that.
No.
Get ready for that. 4 hours today.
Strap in.
Yep. Here we go. We're off and running. Story that developed over the weekend and then pretty much ran its course, I guess, over the weekend. Possibly. There may be a few more tidbits about this story. That would be the story of Anley Ramirez being let go by the Red Sox last month and us wondering why he hadn't signed with another team and there being rampant rumors about why he hadn't stayed with the Red Sox and why maybe he hadn't signed with another team. And then on Friday afternoon, we got a report. We got a report from Michelle McPhee, who had an item on Hanley, saying that he was being eyed. Is that an official term, being eyed?
Eyed. Sure. As a verb? Yeah.
Yes. The report was Hanley Ramirez, former Red Sox infielder, has some, well, issues. Being eyed in connection with an ongoing federal and state investigation. Stay tuned. Michelle McPhee then did interviews related to her report, including one on the Baseball Reporters on Friday night on this very station, following up on that. Talking more about what she knew and how there could be more information coming out today. Before we got to today, we received another report last night from the Boston Globe, which said, in fact, that Hanley was not being investigated. It has more details. The headline was, Hanley Ramirez not under federal investigation. Friend dropped his name, hoping to avoid arrest. And it outlines a person who was pulled over by state police in Western Mass back in April after a confidential informant tipped off the DEA that this person would be delivering 2 kilos of cocaine to Massachusetts. This according to a DEA affidavit. The man told the trooper he was traveling to Boston to see a friend who was a professional baseball player. The document doesn't identify the player by name, but multiple people, including the man's attorney, said he was referring to Hanley Ramirez. The man consented to a search of his Jeep, but when the trooper asked to open a brown cardboard box found in the rear cargo area, the man declined, saying it belonged to Ramirez. He claimed the box contained books and that Ramirez's mother had shipped the box to him in New York to hand deliver to his friend Ramirez in Boston, according to the affidavit, because apparently they couldn't be mailed directly to Hanley Ramirez in Boston. They had to be delivered to New York and then driven from New York to Boston. How about that as an excuse? What's in the box? Books.
Books. That cannot be transported in any other way. It's like a live animal. It's like perishable food. The only way to properly ensure that they get delivered to their intended recipient is by personal courier, which is what I'm doing now. May I please be on my way?
They're books. They're Bibles. What are they? Oh, those are my. That's my box of Bibles.
I don't know, officer. I don't know your name there. It could be a Quran. Could be anything. There's a lot of religious books in there.
And for that, I have rights. I have rights.
Yes.
You don't need to search
know,
that box. I have religious
rights.
Freedoms.
I know my rights.
And rights against search and seizure, despite me already consenting to the search of this vehicle. Those are books. You cannot open that box.
You got a Bible. You got the Torah. You got all kinds of stuff in there.
Those are my books. Don't touch my books.
Let me alone.
Did you see the story over the weekend of the World Cup trophies that were loaded with coke?
How did I miss this?
You didn't see this?
How did I miss this?
Ah, you missed that story?
See, what you need to do is you need to make the trophy out of cocaine, compressed cocaine that you then you know, finish off with like a gold plating
replica
of some kind.
Replica World Cup trophies were used to ship marijuana and cocaine internationally.
But there was stuff shoved inside the trophies.
Yeah, they were built into the trophies.
That's,
so you crack open the replica trophies.
Yeah. No, you got
it inside the trophies.
No.
It reminded me of Lost. If you ever watched Lost, like the Virgin Mary statues that were filled with heroin.
I missed that one, too.
You missed that one?
No.
Do you remember that, Sarge?
No, I didn't watch that show. I didn't watch
it. That's what it reminded me of. But anyway, Hanley's buddy gets pulled over on the pike, and then they open up the box, and what is it filled with? Fentanyl. And then an attempt to back up the story, he FaceTimed Hanley Ramirez right there and handed the phone to the trooper on the side of the road. Oh, look, it's my buddy Hanley. This is his box. Look, I'm going to visit him.
It's like getting a FaceTime from Zoe at those inopportune moments. Oh, do I pick this up? Oh, all right. Yeah, hello?
So the trooper then asks Hanley, do you know anything about this box? And he goes, I don't know anything about the box. He said, can I open the box? And he goes, sure, go ahead, open the box. What do I care? And then the box was filled with, again, fentanyl. So Hanley's buddy, the fentanyl dealer, is FaceTiming him on his way back to Boston, using him as his excuse for why you can't open the box. And then Hanley's like, it's not my box. And then it turns out to be fentanyl. 2 kilos of fentanyl. That could kill quite a few people right there.
Anything that did Prince in, that had a hand in it. And I know Prince did it to himself, but no, I'm automatically down on that. Can't get behind your fentanyl transport.
So that appears to be the story now, that Hanley is not directly involved. He's not being eyed, but that his buddy, someone in his group of friends, was dealing and transporting fentanyl. That's the link. This happened in April. He then went on Twitter last night, 9:39 p.m., and said, I have been home enjoying my family. Not being on a team has been my choice. Grateful to those of you who resisted spreading the reckless, misleading reports.
Beetle.
Hashtag ICU, hashtag loyal, hashtag only love here. Why is it me? What did I do?
He's speaking to the media in general, and you are a prominent member of it.
Well, here's what I know. These rumors were not new. This happened in April. These rumors were flying shortly after he was let go. Like, the day he was let go, there were people talking about it, talking about the rumor, knew something that involved a vehicle and drugs. That part was right. And in the days after that, I could tell you, I tweeted it. May 29th was the first time I'd heard about this. And that's why you've heard people say, well, it could be something else. It could be something else with Hanley. The Red Sox have insisted over the last few days that it is nothing more than a baseball decision, which may be true. It may be a baseball decision. I think they knew about this, and I think that it weighed in on it. It mattered when they were making that decision. It made it an easy decision for them to make. Because does that look good for him? Even if he was not directly involved, is that a good look?
No, it's a terrible look.
It's a horrible look.
But if we are going to, I guess, put upon guys to try and leave their past behind and still, you know, you're still going to have connections to the people that you grew up with or from wherever place you're from, in this case, the Dominican, and you're going to, you know, maintain your relationships with friends and family members. That is also going to allow for the possibility of other people that you don't necessarily want in your life having some access to. And, I mean, it can go one of two ways. You can completely isolate yourself and block yourself off from everything that you were or any place that you came from or anything having to do with your old life. Or when those things pop up, you can do your best to ignore them. And I'm willing to give Hanley the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, the guy had my number. I knew him from way back in the day, but I don't know what he's talking about. I do not assign any guilt to him in this situation as of right now. Knowing what I know right now from the police report and the description of how it went down, I'm not going to, I'm not going to indict Hanley in my mind just because a guy had his phone number.
No, the only thing he's guilty of is having crappy friends.
Even if it's his friend. How many people have your number that aren't even your friend that could FaceTime you right
now? Sure,
but
I mean, is there any debate as to whether or not this was this was his friend? I mean, I don't think that's being out. Is that up for debate? I mean, is that being contested by anybody?
I don't know that he's friends with a guy. I really don't know. And plus, I got a lot of knucklehead friends. I don't think any of them would try and throw me under the bus like that, but it's possible. Look, this guy has, been all over the world. This guy is, branched out. He's not living 20 feet from where he was born or where he grew up. You spread out. You make a lot of associations, a lot of acquaintances.
Yeah.
Stuff happens.
Like with your neighborhood fentanyl dealer. Of course. Guy who's trafficking 2 kilos of fentanyl.
Well,
sure.
Did you read how he got it? He just found it. He was just
right.
Trying to...
That's why a DEA informant who, what happened. It would be DEA informant means that's someone who's either like undercover or someone that's already in trouble.
Yeah.
right?
I mean, it's just one found of, it in this hollowed out
yeah,
Bible.
Just found it. Just happened to find it.
The guy who's transporting it, obviously, you can't say anything. You can't defend this guy at all. But I'm not going to attack Hanley in any way just because the guy happened to have his phone number and said he was his friend.
Do you think the Red Sox knew about it?
It's tough to imagine they didn't. With all the connections between law enforcement, police departments, people who know people, how is it possible that this goes down? Hanley's name not only gets brought up, but he gets FaceTime from the side of the road where they just found all the drugs, or right before they found all the drugs, and then it doesn't get back to somebody associated with the Red Sox, and it makes its way up the ladder to where they find out. To me, that's tough to believe.
They totally knew. That part I don't believe, but what does that mean? Well, what should we say? We'll discuss that on the other side. Hanley Ramirez and the bizarre case of Hanley's friend and the fentanyl on the side of the road in Western Mass. We'll get to all this and your calls coming up next.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Reports about a FaceTime phone call that was made between a man during a car stop. After that car stop, police recovered a significant amount of drugs. And during the car stop, the suspect claimed that one of the items found in his vehicle belonged to Hanley Ramirez and then FaceTimed him in front of the police. So I can only speak to what I know in my reporting for the last couple of days on, the suspect and his connection to Hanley Ramirez raised some eyebrows among the state and federal officials who have been part of this long and continuing ongoing investigation.
Does this suspect have a long rap sheet?
I don't know that much about the suspect other than on June 8th, he was arraigned in connection with having 435 grams of fentanyl along with a large amount of crack cocaine.
Michelle McPhee with Jim Murray on the Baseball Reporters on Friday night. I mean, she nailed that part about the FaceTime call on the side of the road and the person driving the car claiming that whatever was in the box belonged to Hanley Ramirez. Part of me thinks that both of these stories and both of these reports can both be true. The way they read, that both of them can be true and that the second one doesn't necessarily completely contradict the first one. Am I crazy to think that, Artie?
No, I don't think they're contradictory. I think one gives you a little more information.
Which one? The Globe? Or McPhee?
When it is explained that, yes, he did have Hanley Ramirez. Like the initial report, the one that I heard was that Hanley Ramirez involved in a federal and state... I want to get the terminology right. I don't know if it was investigation.
Being eyed.
Well, yeah, they took a look at him if this guy has his phone number and he says he was calling him. But then almost immediately after you eye something, you realize, okay, there's nothing to see here.
You think maybe they still are?
I think if they're doing their due diligence, they almost have to. If the first name that pops into this guy's head and the one that he's looking to, but that's also... in this dope's mind, was going to be his get-out-of-jail-free card. Oh, as soon as I get into the state of Massachusetts, all I have to do is drop the name of this prominent Red Sox player that I know, that I've met, that I somehow have his phone number. And that, who knows?
They allegedly grew up together.
Maybe they are friends.
He's from the Dominican. Like, he knows Hanley from when they were young.
Legit friends. But I cannot immediately leap to, well, that makes Hanley a suspect in this, literally or figuratively, and that he's somehow any part of this. No, I'm not going to make that leap.
No, I'm not saying he is, but wouldn't, if you were in law enforcement, wouldn't you naturally say, does this guy have anything to do with what this guy's been up to?
If
they're friends, and not only that, this guy has plenty of cash. Anybody with that amount of money available to them and friends like that, they're immediately going to say, let's make sure he's not involved somehow. That's what they're going to do. That's what you do. That's doing your job. That doesn't mean that he's done anything wrong.
I would take a look at it, but I wouldn't take a very hard look if it becomes apparent that what this guy was doing was taking drugs that he maybe didn't even own. All he's doing is transporting from one spot to another. But Hanley doesn't have to be involved with that at all.
So put yourself in the Red Sox mind. Hanley's slumping in the month of May. He was terrible. He wasn't hitting. They don't want to pay him next year. They want to move on from him anyway. And then they get information that, hey, yeah, Hanley's buddy got pulled over on the pike with a box of fentanyl. And the guy who got pulled over FaceTimed Hanley. And the trooper who pulled the guy over sat there and had a FaceTime conversation with your number three hitter. And now because of that, they have to naturally take a look at your guy. Oh, well, you know what? We were thinking about moving on from it anyway. This makes this call easy for us. Bye. In case anything else goes down with this, we don't want to be here for it.
Which when you lay it out like that, it makes sense, except for the fact that I have to believe that they knew about this long before he started slumping, and it was getting toward the end of May.
Well, if it happened in he got let go on the 25th, let's say they found out second week of May, third week of May.
And it took them 3 weeks to decide they were going to designate him? I believe he was designated for baseball and money reasons, and the fact that his name was going to be coming up in this made it just that much easier because they knew it was going to be an unpopular move. It was
right.
It was mostly, I would say, an unpopular move based on the reaction we heard here.
How would this look
in the days after?
How would this look today if he were still on the team? What kind of circus or distraction would that be? And they're probably thinking it's only a matter of time before this gets out. It's only a matter of time before this is reported or his name comes up in a court case. Yeah, you know what? We're going to avoid that entire thing. And for that, I say good for you. You made the right call then. You think this team right now wants to deal with all that? I mean, they're not dealing with any of it now. They said, right now, baseball decision. Knew nothing about it, and they're moving on.
If I'm the Red Sox, the first thing I'm doing is going to the CBA and seeing, you know what, can we suspend this guy and get out of the money and not have to owe the money at all and do it that way? Can you suspend a guy if he's being investigated? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Because that kind of...
I don't think so. I think you got to be charged. I think you got to be a criminal before that can happen.
That kind of goes back to Aaron Hernandez with his wife going after the Patriots for the money on that. So the Red Sox probably...
Yeah, different CBA, though.
But still, similar.
Different CBA and a totally different scenario.
No, but I'm just
saying...
But if
you're the Red
Sox,
you have all the money in the world. You guys signed him to the contract.
But they don't want that tagged on there.
I feel like for the baseball team in 2018, the best scenario for them to avoid it all and move on from it and not have this happen while he's on the team is exactly what they did. Good for you. He sucked. He wasn't hitting. You wanted to get out of it anyway.
But for the Red Sox to try and withhold money now based on him being part of a criminal investigation, if in fact
he is.
But
they're not trying to.
No, I'm
saying... They're saying they're sticking to the baseball guns. Nope. Baseball reasons only. We had no knowledge. No, just a baseball thing. And now they don't get tied up in any of that crap.
But to Jim's point, if they decided to use that now as a means to save some money.
Oh, they can't.
What a horrible look that would be to prospective free agents and other guys they're trying to get to come play here. And other players look around, they talk to their agents, and they say, well, there's the Red Sox. Red Sox, aren't they the guys that... The second your name comes up, if you've got some nefarious character in your past and he does anything and brings your name up, they're going to try and screw you out of your money. They don't want to be known as the team to do that.
No, and they're not. They're going to pay him and say, okay, bye-bye. Right.
Jim wants them to.
I mean, we thought they...
If I was them, I would look into it.
It's good to know about you, Jim. I'm glad
it's
I know
good.
That now.
It's off their hands now. They don't have to deal with anything to do with it. They have cleansed themselves of dealing with any of these issues. They can rest easy. I got nothing to do with this. I don't know anything about his fentanyl. We just sent him on his way and paid him, and we're not dealing with that. We're focused on the baseball team.
Yeah, they need.
That's
to go,
what they're doing.
They need to go full Patriots on this one. He's not with the team anymore. We don't discuss players
exactly.
that aren't with the
team. Exactly. And so they're denying it. But I don't believe them. Nobody should believe them that they didn't know. But I think that the way they're handling it in lying about it is the right thing to do. I do. I know we're being lied to. It's okay. I totally understand it. Nobody should believe them. Okay, let's get that out there. But you should also recognize this is the right way to handle it. Nope. We had no idea about this. Just baseball, and we're focusing on the guys who are here. We're moving on. Alex Cora even threw in, I hope it's not true. You know, these reports, these rumors, I hope they're not true. Got to go play a game tonight, guys.
He was quick to say baseball move.
Yeah, he was. He kept saying that baseball move thing. He kept saying it. Mike is in West Roxbury. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
I just wanted to talk quick about the Hanley situation. First off, fentanyl is one of the medications that's, I have a science background, but it's prescribed in micrograms, which is a millionth of a gram, just to show how much that guy had. And, you know, he was a high-level trafficker. He had like 450 or something grams of it. But onto the FaceTime thing, you know, I found these days people don't even want to talk on the phone. You know, everyone texts, and maybe you talk on the phone to people that you're close to. But the level of intimacy you have to have with someone to do a FaceTime, I mean, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't FaceTime anyone other than, you know, a close friend or family. I wouldn't FaceTime a random business associate or, you know, someone like that. So I think that might show a little bit about this guy's level of intimacy with Hanley Ramirez, the fact that he accepted a FaceTime from him.
It's an interesting point.
Right. If you get a FaceTime from a number you don't recognize, are you picking it up? I mean, they were friends. They grew up together. They know each other. I don't think that part is being contested, Hardy. It's known that they're friends.
But what...
It's just a matter of, are you responsible for the stupid stuff your friends do? No, you're absolutely not. But look at it from the Red Sox point of view on that. Oh, we have no idea what this guy's into, and we want to get rid of him anyway. Well, this makes this one easy. Bye. So long. Good luck with that fentanyl case you got yourself tied up in now, Hanley. You know? It's a problem with friends. It's a problem. You keep all your bad friends.
The FaceTime aspect of it is interesting, though, because there's friends and there's FaceTime friends. It's like you've got numbers, you've got acquaintances, you've got guys who you could text. You have other guys you know that you would DM on Twitter. You know, you keep it, you know, somewhat professional that way. A FaceTime? That's a little more intimate.
All right, so that's a Hanley story. I think they knew, and I think it made their decision easy. If the report... that he was, like, directly involved. And by the way, there was some wild stuff flying on Twitter on Friday. Wild rumors that I don't think were attributed to any actual reporting. But that he was tied to other crimes outside of the United States and the Dominican. If those were true, then I would believe that he was definitely just outright sent packing because that stuff had been rumored or they had found information that that was real. I don't think it is. I think that his friend is an idiot. And his friend is a fentanyl dealer, and he was tied up in it by way of as it's been described, and naturally he got looked at because he was so close to the guy. And the Red Sox wanted no part of it, and they wanted to get rid of him anyway, so it made it easy. That's what happened. Let's talk about the actual base team, including a guy who's still in the lineup, a guy who's still hitting in J.D. Martinez, and the weekend that the Red Sox had. We'll get to that next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
It is an off day for the Red Sox after a 5-0 shutout win yesterday over the Seattle Mariners at Fenway Park. Chris Sale, 13 strikeouts over 7 innings of work. 7th win of the year. First shutout win since his first start of 2018.
I think just getting back into a little bit better rhythm. I've been saying kind of the same thing over the last handful of starts. And, you know, just feeling good and getting into that tempo and getting back into a little bit better rhythm than I have been to start the year. So put a lot of work into it, so I'm glad where we're at.
And the Sox now tied for first with the Yankees atop the AL East standings. Angels in town tomorrow, first of three at Fenway. Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman set to have the appeal of his 4-game suspension heard today in New York. ESPN reporting that a couple of arguments will be the illegal substance questioned, not recognized by the NFL, and also the way the league mishandled the evidence during the investigation. Some NHL news. New York Islanders free agent center John Tavares could be meeting with the Bruins this week. That according to TSN Canada. The Maple Leaf Stars and Sharks are also set to make a run for Tavares. And World Cup action, 31st minute right now. Egypt with a 1-0 lead over Saudi Arabia. Also in the 31st minute, Uruguay leads Russia 2-0. Headlines brought to you by D'Amico Dental Care in Watertown. Tony Maz is dentist, celebrating 25 years. If you break a tooth, do what Maz did and get a crown in a single visit. D'AmicoDMD.com. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
2-2 to Martinez. Up the middle. Base hit. Swihart scores. Betts turning in. He scores. What a night for J.D. Martinez. Red Sox lead it 12-10. What a comeback by the Red Sox.
Any of you guys catch any of that game? With the 4 million runs being scored?
Yeah, so a little.
I don't see anyone else saying yes. So.
Oh, a long day at the softball field. A lot of games this weekend.
Tom says he saw some of it. Game was sort of ridiculous. I preferred yesterday's game myself. The 5-0 win and the run support for Chris Sale in a game that was over in about 2 hours and 40 minutes. That was a joy to watch Chris Sale yesterday. Ball was moving. Meanwhile, J.D. Martinez continues to hit, even though he's, you know, maybe slowed down a little bit off his pace because he was so hot out of the gate. But he's a guy who I think has been pretty well received here. Wouldn't you say that, Hardy? People generally like J.D. Martinez, enjoy what he's done for the Red Sox.
For the most part, I will say happy with the move to acquire him, happy with him certainly recently, and I think he was given a pretty long leash in terms of, you know, not being there for all the spring training. Did he participate in any of spring training?
Well, he got there late.
But didn't have much of a start. Started off slow and was given a lot of time.
So we've already heard his complaints about how he's not a star in Major League Baseball and how he doesn't get the star treatment that other guys get, and he's not happy with that. And you think, okay, that's a bigger picture gripe. Now he's mad about the offseason again. He's upset with the media. He's upset with baseball. And he did not go to spring training, as you said, and that was because he hadn't been signed yet. There was also a report at the time from Ken Rosenthal that he'd become fed up with the Red Sox. Remember that? He was fed up. By the way, he wasn't the only guy who wasn't signed, because that was pretty much the way that offseason went. Other players that are named also in this story, like Chris Swick? Wick? Yahoo Sports?
I was going to say Quick.
Quick?
With this, yeah. That's how I read it.
It's C-W-I-K. Good story. He mentions Mike Moustakas, Jake Arrieta, Lance Lynn, Jonathan Lucroy. A bunch of guys weren't signed when spring training rolled around, and J.D. Martinez was one of them, probably the biggest name in there. And he says it's unusual because in previous years, you might see one standout player go deep into the offseason unsigned, and it was nearly unprecedented to see all the talent that was available as spring training began. So people threw out the collusion word, and Martinez, in this story, as he writes, had a different word for it. Quote, it was a joke. The way this whole baseball thing is going. To me, it's a shame. It's a shame. The way this whole baseball thing is going. Major League Baseball. He then signed a $110 million contract with the Red Sox. And he thinks that's a joke, the way baseball is going. Quote, I think free agency really opens up a player's eyes to markets out there and the business side of it, which is the ugly side. When you're young, you really don't know any of that. Once you start getting into the dollars and you start talking about that, then you start seeing teams come out and say how they really feel about you. For some reason, the media wants to lower your value, Martinez says. You see it all over Major League Baseball, and you're just like, dude, what did I ever do to these people? It's very fishy, the people who say it, and who they work for, and stuff like that.
My first question to JD, yes. My first question is, what is ugly about a $110 million contract where you have opt-out clauses in 2019 and 2020?
There's three opt-outs after years. Yeah, right? Do I have that right?
That's ugly. That's so ugly.
Or he can get out. You're right. He can get out of the final 3 years of the
contract. Yes.
Yeah.
Or just stick around and be guaranteed your $110 million.
Opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4.
Yes.
He can opt out after any of those years.
The longer he went unsigned, the more the media started to tear down his credentials, too. He suspected these two things might be connected. Well, what did he originally... He did want originally more. The rumored number was more than that, okay? So let's say the conspiracy exists. It's bargaining. You know, you don't automatically get what you want or the first number. And by the way, do you really think that Dave Dombrowski and the other GMs around the league are paying attention to what fans and sports writers think a certain guy should be paid? It all has to do with how much money they have available and how much they decide they need the guy or want the guy. Sometimes guys get paid more than what is reported in media reports in terms of what they're looking for and what they're going to get. I mean, to think that somebody working for an outlet in Boston who has connections with the Red Sox, albeit,
yep,
could somehow influence what this guy ultimately ends up getting, it's not absurd. But what's absurd is to think that somebody who just signed a $110 million five-year contract thinks that free agency is ugly and that things really got ugly. I mean, doesn't that indicate to you that he probably didn't get everything that he was after, and that had they just stayed out of it with all the rumors and stuff swirling around, he could have got what he really deserved?
So he's basically complaining about his contract and his situation is what he's doing.
Well, he's complaining about the process, for
sure. And he's complaining about baseball, which has screwed him over in so many ways. The sport that gave him how many chances to prove himself to keep coming back, which is, I think, this is one of the redeeming qualities of the system in baseball. You get a lot of chances. You can suck as a major leaguer, go back to the minors. You can get cut by your team. You can get let go. And if you're good and you turn it around, you will find your way back. And that is unlike other sports. That is unlike the NFL. It is unlike the NBA. If you completely suck to the point where your team says, you're not even a major league player, and we don't even want you in our system, like the Astros did, he found his way back, became a player, and got paid $110 million. Mm-hmm. Tell me another sport where that's happened. Tell me another sport where a guy has gone to from out of the league and unemployed, nobody wants you, to working your way back to a $110 million contract. Tell me. The system that's been so rigged against J.D. Martinez.
The way this whole baseball thing is going, to me, it's a shame. Talking about how there are more teams trying to tank than trying to win. There are a lot of shameful things about it. I will agree. It's shameful that the salaries have skyrocketed to the point where the teams need to make that much money in their TV contracts and their radio contracts, and they need to charge so much for tickets that average families can't afford to go. Going to a baseball game now is a luxury for most families. Like, that's a big summertime event. Where if you're in a family of four to a Red Sox game,
yeah,
for most families, that's like going to Storyland for the weekend. I mean, you're going to spend a lot of money, and it's a big deal. Yes, you're right, J.D. Martinez.
Hey,
that
Jim,
part of it is shameful.
Who do you think J.D. Martinez is starting to sound like a little bit?
I was going to say David Price.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's exactly right. He's starting to sound a little bit like David Price, and his comments in this story weren't the only comments that came out in the last few days. He's also stepping up to the plate to defend David Price. He is publicly now defending David Price. There's sort of an alignment. They're sort of coming together as a united front. Price and Martinez. Price, whatever. Martinez, wait a minute. You're good. Everyone likes you here. You have no criticism. Who's on your case? This part is truly odd. Martinez being upset at the world. But that is the identity that the Red Sox are taking on.
This is good.
Maybe he'll
convince him to opt out.
I'll tell you what he said about David Price. And also, the weekend the Yankees had makes me feel so much better. About 5 days after, I didn't feel so great about where things were going in the American League East. We'll discuss that next.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So I can
The Yankees, they've taken a two-game lead in the American League East. My fear is that last night was some sort of sea change type of night in the American League East. The Yankees battle back. They win in a big, emotional fashion. They take a two-game lead in the division. The Red Sox, meanwhile, are dropping games on the road to Minnesota, who, again, I can't stress this enough, they suck. And my fear is that last night was a big sea change type of night. I would say between now and the All-Star break is critical to the Red Sox staying in the American League East. That was Thursday. Today's only Monday. And I feel so much better today. Oh, what a relief that weekend was. What a relief. And then I read the New York Post today. Ken Davidoff, headline, doubt creeps into the Yankees world for the first time all season. What? They go to Tampa and get swept? Who would have seen that coming? Oh, my. Oh, wow. He says, a long Sunday at Tropicana Field concluded with the Yankees losing 7-6 in 12 innings to the Rays, and therefore winding up on the wrong side of a sweep for the first time this season. They also took off for Philadelphia without their starting catcher Gary Sanchez, who stayed behind after injuring his right groin. He'll undergo an MRI in Tampa today. He says it's a virtual certainty he's going to go on the 10-day disabled list. Three straight losses and a virtual tie with the Red Sox atop the American League East. Albeit with the Yankees, still owning a two-game edge in the loss column. Sure, that and the imminent Sanchez deactivation will register anywhere. There's doubt now. There's doubt in Yankee land. How about that? He says the DEFCON level will be lowering. Right? Because everyone says, oh, DEFCON 5. No, DEFCON 5 means everything's good.
Yeah, DEFCON 5.
DEFCON 1 is where things go real bad.
Can we find out what DEFCON level we're at right now? Is DEFCON still a thing?
I don't know if it is. Is DEFCON still used? I have no idea.
What DEFCON are we at? You don't even have to finish typing it. Let me see.
Go on. Go on.
How to find out what level of DEFCON we are currently on? And it's a banner ad. All right. I'll get to work on it.
All right, DEFCON 5, by the way, the official description is lowest state of readiness.
Yes.
DEFCON 4 is increased intelligence watch and strengthened security. DEFCON 3 is increase in force readiness above that required for normal readiness. DEFCON 2 is next step to nuclear war, and then DEFCON 1 is nuclear war is imminent. So Davidoff wants to go from DEFCON 5 to 4.8. Even though that's not a thing. And he says this will keep going down. The more this happens to the New York Yankees, Gary Sanchez is hurt. They get swept in Tampa. He says the Yankees have earned the benefit of the doubt. It's far too early in the season, however, for doubt to take a holiday altogether. For the first time in a long time, the Yankees are within doubt's reach. Can they outrun it once again? And now all those nerves are in New York. They were here in Boston on Thursday. Now I'm feeling great. Now I'm feeling absolutely fabulous about this. And the Red Sox will get the Rays for like the 400th time this season already. The schedule makers just really jam-packed a lot of Rays games in for the Red Sox. And the fact, you can look at this two ways. The Rays are either hot or they've won too many games. And when the Red Sox get around to them, and when's their next series with them?
We got the Angels and Yankees this week,
yeah,
right?
I thought there was a Rays series coming up soon. Is there not? Don't they have another one of those series coming up? No, they don't. Why did I think that? I must have thought the Royals series was the Rays. Damn it, never mind then. Cancel that. Take that back. But either way, it's good news for the Red Sox. And they'll get the Angels and Yankees coming up.
According to DEFCONLevel.com, we are currently at DEFCON 5. This is
so, yeah, everything's fine.
Well, this is not a government website either. This is
normal readiness.
We're not at war.
Yeah.
I mean, I could put together a website called DEFCONLevel.com, but
Tampa's August, by the way.
That's the next series? Why did I think there was another Rays series coming up?
August 17th or the 19th.
Then I screwed that up.
Yeah.
I screwed that up. Side note. But either way, they swept the Yankees over the weekend. Brilliant. And the Yankees are about to begin their slide. I told you, the weeks leading up to the All-Star break are critical, and since then everything's gone better for the Red Sox. Back with a piece of first place. I feel better. Do you feel better? I feel better.
I do feel better, and I didn't feel bad. And look, slumps come in all shapes and sizes. But the Red Sox were definitely, you know, trending in the wrong direction. And I think it's safe to say you could say they were slumping, if not full on in the slump. And the Yankees, you know, they know this. It's obvious, you know, what the 1-2 punch is right now in the AL East. So they have to be looking at that and having that information available to them and knowing what the situation is. They go in and let that be done to them over the weekend. It's beautiful. It's perfect. They're not the unstoppable force. They're not head and shoulders better. And I'm not saying that, you know, all clear, everything's going to be fine, but the slumps are going to happen for both teams. And I feel better because I wasn't feeling great about the Red Sox as recently as yesterday morning when I was sitting in here with Ryan Johnston thinking like, oh, well, you know, you get a good team at like Seattle and kind of come into your own ballpark and have their way with you a little bit. And it makes you wonder, okay, good. All right. Happens to the Yankees, and the Red Sox got the win yesterday. Yes, makes me feel better.
Other J.D. Martinez item was that defending David Price said that his Fortnite comment was a joke last week and went on to say that he feels like reporters report information that is totally made up. Quote, I don't read, but I'll watch on TV or whatever. Pretty much the important stuff gets filtered through and we'll get on MLB Network. And even the stuff that comes on there is all lies. I remember that one thing that I think Rosenthal said, that Martinez is fed up with the Red Sox. I'm sitting there. I'm going like, what? Who says this? Martinez called agent Scott Boras after hearing Rosenthal's report. He's like, they're going to say what they want. They want a reaction. If you react, it's almost worse. Just leave it alone and it will go away in a day. So Martinez didn't respond. And yes, he saw plenty of Twitter notifications. Oh, yeah, of course. It's Boston. It's just crazy that the media can say what they want. I'm just like, what the heck, dude? Okay. And everyone believes it. He said the Rosenthal report came out of nowhere. Here's the quote. I'm waiting to see Ken. I haven't seen him all year. I'm going to ask him.
That's
where
great.
Where did you get that from?
Everything you see on the MLB. That lies, communism, all propaganda.
All lies.
That's not one thing true. All lies.
So Boras had to talk him off the ledge.
Yes. Boras had to talk him off the ledge.
Like, listen, do you want $100 million? Don't respond to this.
These are comments, by the way, that he gave to Mass Live and Chris Smith, who had this last week, the end of last week. Unbelievable. Oh, just, there's a lot of stuff in here, but he is really, all lies on Major League Baseball Network. All lies. Rosenthal made it up. He's a liar. And he wants us to believe that the report wasn't true. With how fed up he is with everything since being here, when he has not been has anyone criticized the guy? Anybody?
In fairness, he's not criticizing locally, really. He's criticizing nationally.
I get it, but he's been great.
In the game.
He's had a pretty good existence here in Boston. He's been great. Everyone recognizes it, and he's helped the team, and everybody loves him. And he's done nothing but bring up all his complaints. He's airing all his grievances, and he's still pissed about his contract, which was worth $110 million. So when I now look back at that report that he was somehow fed up with the process and the Red Sox, yeah, it sounds totally believable. You're almost confirming the report when you talk about how pissed you were about the system and the process and the things that teams said about you when you were looking for the contract. You're telling us you were upset with the offseason.
But he's airing these things in places that aren't easily found for, like, they trickle out, like, a day or two later. Like, Chris Quick and this Christopher Smith, who's been great on the Red Sox.
Oh, he's fabulous.
But his stuff doesn't come out, like, right. If you don't notice it right away, it's going to take a couple days to trickle out to you.
Right. It doesn't have, like, the biggest.
He's
following.
Not doing this to the Globe or right. Shaughnessy. If he did this to Shaughnessy or, like, a prominent national guy, he's doing it to these, like, lower level guys that it's going to take some time to come out. He doesn't like the man, huh?
He just doesn't.
He's all about the little guys.
That's all it is. That's what he said. He has thrived in a way most high-priced free agents who have signed with the Red Sox haven't. Quote, I don't know about the other guys that were here. He's a simple man. He lives outside the city. He likes life here so far. Yeah, I'm still getting used to it, but it's cool. To me, it's like it doesn't matter. My life is going home, going to the ballpark, go home, go to the ballpark, go home, go to the ballpark, go home, go to the ballpark.
Watch MLB Network. Get upset.
Watch MLB Network. Get pissed at Rosenthal.
Lies, watch the
fake news. I watch that fake news. He grinds it out. I said this to you guys over the weekend. He's like Donald Trump watching, you know, cable news all day. Like, he goes in there. Fox News is to Trump what MLB Network is. Or actually, it would be like CNN. It would be CNN is to Trump what MLB Network is to J.D. Martinez. Lies. Fake news. Hey, I can't wait to see him. Call him out for that. Oh, I can't wait to call. Where's he been? I'd like to ask him where he got that information. It's all fake. It's all fake. He's pissed at MLB Network. Who even watches MLB Network? Who watches that?
We need an Anchorman-style fight between, like, Rosenthal, Eck, and JBJ, Price, and Martinez on the other side.
Like, what?
All roll up together.
Oh, they've just been so unfair to him. We've got headlines with Sarge. We're back in 90 seconds. Today is the appeal for Julian Edelman. ESPN had a story late last night about how the appeal will be handled from his side. A lot of lawyer speak in that story. We'll get to it next.